appreciative. My wife and I were, because of the great messages of encouragement that many of you gave to us last week as they honored Pastor Appreciation Month. We appreciated that. I didn't know it was Pastor Appreciation Month. And thank you. We're encouraged by the kind notes. And what I what really struck me was they were notes about us as a couple in ministry. And my wife does this because she loves the Lord. She doesn't have to do this. And so I appreciate the fact that you have noticed the efforts that she puts in helping to enhance the ministry here at Fallbrook. Thank you for the gift. I'm wearing it. Some of you may not even know you gave me a tie, but this was given by you. I'm not sure who, you know, how it came to be, but it has crosses on it, and so it's a very attractive tie. Thank you so much. Sometimes you get ties you don't want to wear. But this one fits, and I appreciate it. We had quite a week. I hope that if you voted for President Bush, I guess you're happy. And if you didn't, then you may not be. But I pray that the sentiments that Betsy gave in her prayer, that we would come together as a people. And I pray that that would happen to us as a nation, and we are duty-bound, regardless of who you voted for. We're duty-bound to pray for our leaders. Amen? So pray for our leaders. Regardless of what had happened this week, both have a big job, correct? Whoever gets in there has a, they need our prayer. So just pray for our nation as we move forward. We know one thing, that the Bible says that the Lord removeth kings and setteth up kings. So even in all of that, the Lord was in it. I hope that you will keep your antennas up. We're coming to, I would figure that the next 4 years will be some interesting thing years to watch, especially as it relates to the Supreme Court. So just keep your eyes open as we watch and view what is going on in our world. Amen? And pray for our leaders. I'm not sure if there's anyone here that is not familiar with Seventh-day Adventists. And I want to say this before I spend a few minutes speaking. If you're not, and you're not familiar with Seventh-day Adventists, maybe you've only been here for a few times, and what I'm going to talk about today, I want to just let you know that it's probably something that we do not talk about all the time, believe it or not. I'm going to talk about the Sabbath today. I have shared with you that once a quarter I would like to talk about the second coming. Well, I'm going to add to that list the speaking about the Sabbath. I have a personal feeling that we as a body of believers are losing the Sabbath. And that we are taking the Sabbath very lightly and not recognizing how important it is. I find it is so important that I think from this desk that I need to at least once a quarter preach a sermon on the Sabbath. We cannot have this church lose the Sabbath or its importance. If so, there's really no reason for us being. We just merge with one of the other denominations. That sounds, but think about it. So we cannot lose that. It's so biblically based that I have a tremendous... So I will be speaking about it, which means I will not say anything new. There will be nothing new. That's why ministers tend to get away from preaching doctrines, because you've heard it all. and we can't come up with anything new that you haven't heard. There will be nothing new said today other than the things that I add in there to kind of, you know, flow, make the sermon flow. So I thought you need to know that. And I won't answer the objections. If you're new, if you don't know much about Adventists, what I will be doing is just touching the surface. As we go along in our years here, we will cover the whole subject. But I just thought you need to know that. A sanctuary in time. Again, not my idea, not original. You've seen that before. The Sabbath referenced to in that way. This past week, Vaughn Meader died. Some of you may have heard the report on NBC. I was intrigued by the story in the light of all that was going on about Vaughn Meader. Now, you may not remember who Vaughn Meader is, but in 1962, he had the largest selling album ever sold, pre-Beatle. Up until that time, no one had sold as many albums. He sold 2.5 million albums in 4 weeks. That time was unprecedented. I went on to sell 7 million albums. The album was titled The First Family. Vaughn Meader was an individual who was singing in coffee houses and performing in coffee houses and doing his impersonations and whatever for $7.50 a night. And after that album caught fire, he was in Las Vegas making $22,500 a week. Now, that's a lot of money in 1962. It's a lot of money anytime, but especially in 1962. Again, his album was entitled The First Family. But timing, have you heard the expression, timing is everything? Timing is everything. And his First Family album kind of poked fun at the Kennedys. That was what he was noted for. And so, because of the success of First Family, the next year he brought out First Family 2. Well, wouldn't you know, November the 22nd, 1963. Most of you know the date. President Kennedy was assassinated. In fact, Vaughn Meader was heading to do a kind of a skit for a fundraiser in Milwaukee. He was in a taxi cab, and the taxi cab driver said, "Had you heard about Kennedy?" And he told him, and he thought that the cab driver was just pulling a joke on him. And from November to November, his life drastically changed. When President Kennedy was killed, it wasn't funny anymore to poke fun at the Kennedys. All of his bookings were canceled. His TV, his appearances on television were canceled. The record store pulled First Family 2. And from one November to the next, the boom was over. Timing is everything. I wrote down some sayings about, or familiar sayings regarding time. I want to read them to you and see if you can add to my list. So if I ever preach this again, I can extend my list. Is that okay? Have you heard the expression, time heals all wounds? Have you heard that one? How about, time is money? A time for everything. That's Bible, okay? We know about that Ecclesiastes famous passage. How about the right time? How about, there is no time like the present? How about time to burn? Or timeline? Time management, time zones, time consciousness, or time conscious, and time is on my side. Now, can you add any to my list? As time goes by, great. Time flies. See, hold it. I got to get my pen out. Flies. There is more time than life. Boy, I tell you, that's great. I needed you guys when I was doing my sermon. Stitching time, great. Give me one more. Time stands still. It's great. It's great. Okay. How about time bomb? That's one that I caught in the car. Time bomb and time clock. I thought about that in sports. You usually have a time clock. But just think about it. You may give me some a little later on. Write them down. Give them to me. I can kind of add to my time. Do you know that God is interested in time? That is very, very important to Him and extremely important to us as a people. Now, we all know that God is holy. Can you say amen to that? We know God is holy. And as soon as we encounter Him in the Bible, if you would turn to your book of Genesis, a passage that I'm going to use, Genesis chapter 2. Turn there very quickly. We see God connected with time, and we see God connected with holiness. And He wants to bring and have us be a part of that. And so we see in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. Everybody knows that passage who are Seventh-day Adventists. But if you're not, we want you to note this passage showing how important time is to God. Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 3, and I'll read it for you while you're turning there. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the what day, everybody? What day? Very, very important. You can't just slip over that. On the seventh day, God ended His work. Which work? What was He doing? He was creating. You go back to the first chapter of Genesis, you'll see what He was doing. But at the end of that time period of creation, then God ended His work, which He hadn't done or made. And He did what, everybody? Rested on what? On the seventh day from all His work, which He had done. Then God did what, everybody? He blessed the seventh day and did what? Sanctified it. He set it apart for holy use. Because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Strange. Why would God set something aside like time to be holy? Why, if God was going to make something holy, why would He choose a block of time? You ever thought about that? Why would He choose that way? Why wouldn't God choose a building or a city or a mountain? Well, He has. And you'll find examples of that. Jerusalem was a holy city, and they're holy mountains. And you'll find those kinds of things. But a block of time, a holy time. You see, when the sun goes down on Friday, we enter holy time. When I first became a member of this church, that was very important. You had to be ready for the Sabbath. Amen? Were you taught that way? That you met the Sabbath when the Sabbath was coming in? You wanted to be ready for the Sabbath? You had all your clothes ready? Come on, I know that sounds old-fashioned. I'm just telling you what it is we learned about the Sabbath. You had your majority of your cooking done. Come on now, right? You wouldn't be out there. Now, I got to tell you, I'm embarrassed to tell you. Sometimes it's dark out there. I'm still wiping on the car. I know you've never done that, see. Well, we get that. We have the car filled up with gas, so we won't have to stop at the gas station. Come on now, right? You know that's true. That's the way we would talk. It was holy time. Now, I'm afraid we're never ready for the Sabbath. We pay very little attention to it. My point is not to be legalistic with it, is to make sure that we do not lose it. If we keep, our prophetess says that we, at the last days, that we are going to proclaim the Sabbath more fully. We're not going to proclaim anything if we lose it. I mean, and again, I was taught this way. If you go around the world and watch our people with the Sabbath, it's almost kind of scary. And again, I don't want us to lose it. It's the uniqueness, and it's so Bible. And whether or not you believe in the Sabbath or not, when that holy time comes on Friday sunset, everybody enters into it. Even those who do not enter into it, that holy time comes. Whether you are a believer or not, God says on the seventh day, my holy time has come. The world out there just doesn't know it. But we know it. And so once a week, we enter into an enormous cathedral of time, someone has said. I was reading this. This was written by Carlisle Haynes. Again, there's so much written on the Sabbath by so many people. Some of the old timers wrote on the Sabbath. But I want to give this to you that I wrote down. It was just profound. He said, the Sabbath is not something he placed on the day. It's the day itself. I hope you got that. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. We're not commanded to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. The command is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That word day in there is very, very important because it has to be specific. It's the seventh day. See, when you start quoting the Sabbath commandment, you have to say, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, not just remember the Sabbath. Because if not, if you stay on that first one, remember the Sabbath, then people will tell you, and they tell you very honestly, well, we can keep the Sabbath on Sunday or Friday, whatever day, just keep a day. The Bible does not say that. Did you read Genesis? What day was it? The seventh day. Are you with me? It said it three times to make sure you wouldn't miss it. You can't miss it. And people will tell you just as big, Sabbath day, Sunday, Friday, whatever day they come up with. The Sabbath is not something apart from the day, which we can shift from one day to the other. It's the day itself. You got to get that in your mind. It's the day itself. If you don't have that in your mind, young people, you'll lose it. You'll lose it. Why did God make holy a period of time? Why time? Let me give you just a few things on why time, and then we'll be gone. God selected time because Satan can't destroy it. What did I say? Satan can't what? He can't what? He can't destroy it. Now what he'll do, he will counterfeit it, but he can't destroy it. If God would have chosen something like a building, what do you think would happen? Satan would destroy it. He would disfigure it. If this was the most important thing for us to know about was our building, do you think our building would be here today? Do you think Satan would burn this building down? If this was a symbol, true symbol of holiness, just this building, you can be sure that Satan would make sure our churches were not around. He didn't care about those buildings. So what Satan does is try to counterfeit it. Patriarchs and Prophets says, in order for us to rid God from our minds, from the minds of men, and Satan aimed to tear down this great memorial, the Sabbath. But we today are living proof that he's failed. Amen? The fact that we're here today in 2004 is a living example that he has failed. But you can be sure he will never stop trying to tear down the Sabbath. That's why some of you feel so tired on the Sabbath. Amen? It's the hardest day to get out. You can go to work every day, but on the Sabbath, whoo, like that bed feels better on Friday than any other night. Come on, you know it's the truth. And it's hard to get here. Come on, you know, you don't think I feel that way sometimes? I'm telling you because we feel that way. Satan will do whatever he can to make sure that we don't keep the Sabbath, but he can't destroy it. Why time? Time puts things in its proper perspective. You know, we put so much value on material things, things we can see and things we can control. But Sabbath, we can't really see it. It's unseen. And so it gives us the appearance that things are more important than things that are unseen. But God wants us to know that we are more important than the things we have. Think about that. Time puts things in its proper perspective. Why time? Mankind is not the master of everything. You know, we fear death. We fear getting older. I look in the mirror and I don't see things in the mirror that I used to see. And you have the same issues. And getting older, we can't stop it. We can't stop one moment of it. We can launch a spacecraft to Titan, but we can't roll back one moment of time, and we can't change the dates of history. You can go on Extreme Makeover, and you can become the Swan, but you're getting older every day. That can be very humbling to us who are prideful of how we look. You are not the master of everything. We are in the grip of time and we're helpless to slow it down. Why time? If you live long enough, you come to see the value of time. And so you tend not to waste it. You tend to invest it in worthy pursuits. And I believe that if we relate properly to the Sabbath because we understand the importance of time, we will tend to prize the 6 days that go along with the Sabbath. I'm glad that the command in Exodus chapter 20 is 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. The command also for us is to use our 6 days wisely. Amen? Get things done. And then why time? Satan can't destroy it. He puts things in its proper perspective. We're not the master of everything, and if we live long enough, we see the value of time. But finally, it is a memorial of creation. It's a memorial of himself. Forgive me for saying that too fast. You see, when we look and try to find the likeness of God, or we try to find out what God is all about, we ask the question that Job asked, can we by searching find God out? In our finite minds, we cannot comprehend his power and his wisdom. But time and the nature of time gives us a perspective of God's eternal nature. And to make sure that we won't forget, God wrote that on our hearts. The end of time, the Bible says that there would be a power that would rise that would think to change what, everybody? Times and laws. But there would be a people who would not forget or alter the thing that has gone out of the mouth of God. The reason for our existence as Seventh-day Adventists, we are a movement. You are here because God has raised us up for these last days. Let me read something to you as I conclude on how we got here. This is the history of our church, and I believe the Lord was in it. Seventh-day Baptists, or a small group in the 1840s, who held the Sabbath view that we now hold. Let me read something from their church, their general conference, their church meeting about the Sabbath. This is what they were praying for. It says, resolve that inasmuch as the first day of November 1843 was observed in accordance with the recommendations of the general conference, as a day of humiliation before God, an earnest entreaty to him to arise and plead for his holy Sabbath. And so they made the first day of the week in January on 1845 was to be observed as a day of fasting, devout acknowledgement for blessings bestowed, an earnest prayer that God would continue to plead for his holy Sabbath. Also prepare us by his Holy Spirit for the labor thus dissolved upon us, and that we are to invite all who love the Sabbath and desire its better observance to unite in presenting its interest to the throne of grace. And so the Seventh-day Baptists prayed, fasted, that God would make the Sabbath, would reveal the Sabbath to the world. And so God answered that prayer when again he brought a lady who was willing, Rachel Oates Preston, she would become, came to live with her daughter in Washington, New Hampshire, where close to our Adventist church was growing up at that time. Rachel Oates was in a service where she heard a minister by the name of Frederick Wheeler, who was a circuit riding minister, on Sunday talking about the commandments. She could hardly contain herself. She approached the minister and told him that he wasn't keeping all the commandments because he forgot the fourth. That was hard for him, but he searched his heart and found out that what she was saying was true. So Frederick Wheeler, a Methodist minister, published a tract on the Sabbath. A Free Will Baptist by the name of Thomas Preble saw the tract, accepted the Sabbath. Thomas Preble was in connection with the early Adventists, James and Ellen White, wrote a tract that Joseph Bates, who was again one of our early pioneers, saw. And so he wrote a tract off of the tract on the Sabbath. James and Ellen White picked up on that and embraced it. And we are today, 2004, we are coming to church on Saturday because the Seventh-day Baptist fasted and prayed that God would get the Sabbath out to the world, and we are about to lose it. We can't afford to lose it. We have to hold on to it because the God raised us up to proclaim it to a world that's scurrying about. And I tried to come up with, now how could, why would this be important? And again, I just scratched the surface. I want you to look at one text before you go. Isaiah, turn to Isaiah 66. This is why it's important. Isaiah 66, verse 22. I'm just scratching the surface as I preach about it from quarter to quarter. I'll add and bring to your realization the importance of it for these last days. Isaiah 66, 22, and I'll read it for you while you're turning. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I make will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. It's going to follow us throughout eternity. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the sanctuary in time. Lord, you know, if you didn't give the Sabbath to us, you know what we'd be doing today? Boy, we would be working and scurrying around. We'd be so busy with all of the things of life. And we need this time with you. We need a space of time to just concentrate on your great love for us. Lord, we're going to do that in heaven, and we need to do it here. Lord, give our people a heart to keep the Sabbath, keep it holy. And when we do that, you said we'll be blessed. So we embrace it again because of our love for you. And you give it to us because of your great love for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.